Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Apologies, Rolene Marks, that we've come to you 2 minutes late. How are you doing?
You can do no wrong in my eyes. What can I say?
So that's a great way to start. So talking about COVID-19, Israel has changed their regulations with regard to tourists. Tell us what this now means.
Okay, so listen up, because this comes directly from the desks of the Ministry of Health, Tourism and the Prime Minister. As of the 1st of November, we have updated our travel requirements and according to the developments and the discovery of new variants. Now, there is a new variant that has been discovered. There have been a few cases in Israel that are very, very, very tightly controlled at the moment. Having said that, our numbers of serious cases and infections have dropped dramatically. So listen carefully, because these are the new guidelines. This is who is eligible to enter Israel under the current framework, which begins on the 1st of November. So any foreign nationals who have been inoculated with two doses of the Pfizer vaccine at least 7 days before their day of entry into Israel, but no more than 100 days upon their leaving of Israel. Any foreign national who has been inoculated with two doses of Moderna at least 14 days prior to their day of entry, 14 days must have passed since their second dose, but no more than 180 days upon their leaving of Israel. Foreign nationals who have been inoculated with one dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at least 14 days prior, the same rule as the Moderna. Foreign nationals who have been inoculated with the Pfizer booster and at least 7 days that have passed before entering Israel. Any foreign nationals who have been inoculated with Moderna, Sinovac, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson booster, and at least 14 days. So that's the booster of Moderna, Sinovac, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson, and a 14-day bridge. Foreign nationals who have recovered from COVID and who present proof of the result of a positive NAAT test at least 11 days prior to their entry into Israel. Foreign nationals who have recovered from COVID-19 and have received at least one dose of the World Health Organization approved vaccine. Those are the list above that are just read out. Groups that will be exempted from quarantine on the basis of their functioning like a capsule that stays together within their own group. So this is for group travel or people coming in and are staying within a family or friend unit. So these are tourists who have been inoculated with a World Health Organization approved vaccine. If the group functions in Israel like a capsule, meaning if they are only in contact with the people in their group, like staying within a tour group, staying within a delegation, etc., etc. Up to 2,000 tourists per day that stay within a capsule, and either a daily antigen test or PCR test every 2 days must be administered for 14 days from the day of entry into Israel. And of course,
how long did it take them to figure this out? I'm thinking even an Excel spreadsheet is not going to cut it. This is like, oh my gosh. Okay, so we've got one person traveling that had COVID. Now we can look at them. They need 13 days. And then this one was on Moderna, so they need 10 days, but not less than 100 days. And somebody else. I mean, this is a lot of work, hey?
This is a lot of work, and I need like a large gin and tonic after just going through all of this. And then the last criteria are any tourists who have not been in red countries or countries under severe travel warnings in the last 40 days prior to entering Israel, and nobody is required to undergo serological tests. Can somebody please bring me a large dry martini?
I mean, all people want to know is, can we travel to Israel or not? You know, and it's going to take sort of, yeah, we're going to be hiring travel experts to determine for each member of the family. It's quite funny. I mean, like, the one question is, what happens with kids? You know, kids under the age of 12 who haven't been vaccinated, what is their story? And a lot of people have that as a concern.
Well, I'm going to need a second cocktail for that. But this comes directly from the Prime Minister's office. This comes off his desk. If you want a copy of it, you can go to gov.il. Howard, I'm going to send it to you. I don't know if you want to post it somewhere. Chai FM can post it. But these are the criteria as of the Prime Minister's desk. I'm still right. Waiting for my large martini.
Right. Okay. So I guess the good news on it is that Israel is open to tourists. You need to understand what the criteria are. Go and look it up, because there are specifications. Yeah. Let's talk about climate change and the environment, because it's been quite an important week in Israel in that regard.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's been quite a significant week the world over. We started the week with the Earthshot Awards, which are now being dubbed the Nobel Prize of Awards, which saw one of a man who I consider a great global treasure, Sir David Attenborough, speaking about the planet. This was Prince William's incredible endeavor. So if you are an organization, a person, a company, and a non-profit who's looking to contribute to fighting climate change, go check out the Earthshot Prize. A very, very positive endeavor indeed. But we've heard a lot from our government on various aspects of the climate. We know that our Prime Minister is off to COP26 in Glasgow in Scotland next month with quite a sizable delegation. Israel very much wants to be a forerunner of how to deal with issues around climate change. We've heard from our Minister of Environmental Affairs speaking about climate change and the effects that it has on stability in the region. Yesterday we heard from the White House saying that they are now going to factor in issues around climate change on global stability and on conflict. Our President, Isaac Herzog, announced just a day or so ago that he will be starting a climate change forum under his patronage. He's already appointed former Chavir Knesset Dov Henan to head this. This will include about 130 organizations, companies, think tanks, endeavors who are fighting climate change. We have a big op-ed in the Times of Israel written by the editor-in-chief, David Horowitz, who has an incredible command of the English language. Reading him on anything is a treat, speaking about the effects of climate change on the Dead Sea. This is, one of the seventh wonders of the world, a real treasure to the state of Israel and the region. So very much ramped up efforts on this. I know that Israel wants representatives on various UN bodies that deal with this, because there are areas where we lead significantly in dealing with the challenges posed by climate change. However, we aren't where we want to be, but of course we're Jewish, Howard. You know, if we don't have something to complain about, who are we?
Are we even then? So, yeah, and I read an article that so many of Israel's startups are involved one way or another in technology around the environment.
Well, absolutely. There has been a significant push to focus on this area. You know, it used to be medical cannabis was the hot place to be for innovation, R&D, and it looks like now we're branching out to look at where we can improve on the situation for the Earth's climate.
The other bit of news this week was Israel's cooperation in the whole space race and space development with the UAE.
Well, isn't this amazing? I mean, last year, if you do recall, we did send a unmanned space vehicle which crash landed on the moon. I mean, just better than Israeli drivers, however, that's all I'm saying. But we've signed a significant memorandum of cooperation this week with the United Arab Emirates. And I kind of love this because it shows you that our push for peace is not just regional, but really intergalactic or into the stratosphere. So what this cooperation, one of their first projects, will be to take students from both the Emirates and from Israel, and they will send the Bereshit 2 into space, hopefully to the moon, maybe with better driving this time, hopefully to put both of our flags on the moon. But not only that, is to look at the exact start of the lunar calendar, which is significant for Jews and for Muslims around the world because we follow a lunar calendar. So I can't think of anything more positive to start this massive cooperation project than with looking at ways to benefit both faiths.
And it would be amazing just that, to picture that, to picture an Israeli flag alongside a flag from the United Arab Emirates together on the moon. I think it just would be so fantastically symbolic, wouldn't it?
Did you ever think we would be talking about this a year and a half ago?
No, absolutely not. Finally, we don't have a lot of time, but just tell us about the latest from Tennessee with regard to anti-BDS law and Ben and Jerry's.
Well, this is very interesting. You know, about 35 states across the United States have anti-BDS laws, and we heard from Texas, we've heard from New Jersey, New York, all saying that they have warned Unilever, which is the parent company or holding company of Ben & Jerry's, who've put forward this infamous boycott. I think we've all watched the massive car crash interview with the founders of Ben & Jerry's, who essentially don't know why they are not boycotting issues domestically, but are quite happily to do it to Israel. I don't know, Howard, to me, you know, it's like this whole Sally Rooney thing. It's the size of the market. You know, if it doesn't affect your perceived bottom line, then who cares? But oh, it does, because we have had states warning Unilever that they are pulling their funding or their investing of their pension funds, which amounts to hundreds of millions of dollars. So the latest state that could follow suit is Tennessee. The governor of Tennessee, his name is Bill Lee. I mean, if that is not Southern, I don't know what. He met with representatives of the Samaria Regional Council, and he is also looking to divest his state from pension funds that invest in holding company Unilever. So this boycott just proves to be more and more of a headache every day for Unilever.